Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and this is 1 Timothy chapter 4. And also I've written, I have exhortations, I have input into these messages from the Bible, into my understanding of them from the things that I've learned from the Lord and that I've read, I've studied. And also I've written something in regard to regeneration and transformation, again, to further give you people an education into the actual meaning of the Word of God, rather than you reading it without knowing what you're reading or being concerned about what you're reading. I'm not required to make you believe it, I'm required to give you the message. And after that, it's up to you. Now the Lord told Ezekiel that he was required to tell all the people, and he said they won't believe you, just like a lot of people in the world today don't believe the things that I'm teaching from the Word of God, because you don't see them really responding as the Bible says that you must if you're interested in entering the kingdom of heaven, if you're interested in being conformed to the likeness of the Lord. And so it's obvious that people have neglected believing the scriptures. They've neglected the faith. They've neglected being conformed. And so, as the Lord told Ezekiel, he said, just tell them, you're not required to make them believe. I do my best to convince people, but I don't see them responding. It seems that many people, when they become more and more educated, they think they can loaf more and they can disobey orders more. But the Lord said that an army has to obey orders. And this is the Lord's army. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but are spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds, the satanic things in the world, and their satanic activities of not responding to the Word. And these are the worst kind of people that have heard the truth and become worse and worse as time goes on. And it doesn't seem to bother them that they're not conforming to the image of the Lord, spirit-wise. And so at the time of the coming of the Lord, they will not be able to, their bodies will not be transformed into His, the likeness of Himself. The Lord wakes up our spirits, our dead spirits, and then at His coming, He transforms them to be conformable to His. And if we haven't allowed our spirits to be transformed into His likeness and image, then at the end, when the Lord appears, we will not have been transformed, and so therefore our bodies will not be transformed. It's obvious in the script, from the scriptures, and what I've given in a message here this evening is that the the spirit is the first thing that the Lord wakes up, and then at His coming, our bodies are transformed or conformed to His body. And if the transformation of the spirit hasn't happened during this life, if you haven't made or compelled your body, your spirit to be transformed to the Lord's Word, then it is very obvious from the Word of God that your body will not be transformed at His coming, because you never conformed to the Lord. You're not diligent, you're not vigilant, you're not watchful, you don't train brothers and sisters, you don't train the new Christians, but you're adverse to them, and then you complain about them not knowing anything. It's you that hasn't trained them, and you just let the work be. Baby Christians come in and you give them the job, and they've never been trained after you've been trained for 25, 30, and 32, 33 years. And so you're guilty. You've not conformed to the Lord. You've not transformed. And you're, in the eyes of the Lord, a devil, because you have not had a change of mind. You haven't repented. You still have the mind of Satan. Okay, let's start reading from the chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4. And I'll give a commentary of the things I've learned and the things that the Lord has given me. Go ahead.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Okay, now read what I said. Depart from the faith means you depart from the Word. You don't listen to what it says. And the more you learn, the more you depart from what the Word says. Giving heed to the spirits of liars, devils. It's because you believe a lie. The devil comes to your mind and you receive it because you haven't changed your mind. Okay, then what?
Now the Holy Spirit clearly tells us that in the last times some shall depart from Christ, the faith in His Word, which we believe. They will follow demonic, lying, seducing spirits and teachings which come from Satan and his demons.
Right, and that's what a lot of people are doing that are within the churches. Okay, then what?
In King James, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Okay, read what I said.
These teachers are hypocrites and liars. They pretend to be saved, but being religious, hence their consciences are dead.
But they're being religious. Hence, their what?
Consciences are dead.
Right. Their consciences being seared means that you don't have a conscience anymore. You don't believe what you're taught. And the Lord's Spirit can't convict your conscience because you don't have one. It's dead. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
King James, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Okay, read what I said.
These devils will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods.
Okay, today they do say it's wrong to be married, and if you do get married, they're going to penalize you. They're going to tax you higher, when in reality, according to the Word of God, they should give you a tax break. Amen?
Amen.
For being married. And the Lord's commandment is to marry and to replenish the earth. But they say that the earth is not capable, that God is not capable of providing enough food and energy for everybody, and that there's too much pollution. When in reality, it's the world government, the devil's government, that's causing the pollution. They've been blowing up hydrogen bombs and also hexagon bombs. And this causes radioactivity to go throughout the whole hemisphere, everywhere in the whole atmosphere throughout the world. And there are many other things that cause pollution, such as they know how to make cars that don't need gasoline. But they refuse to do that because so many of the people in politics that are in with the world government have a lot of investments in petroleum, gasoline. And so they willingly are causing the pollution and then penalizing the citizens of the world by saying it's wrong for you to be married and to have children because God is wrong and we are God. You have to go by what we say rather than what the Lord says. Okay? Now go ahead.
And
now, anyone that thinks they're smarter than the Word of God has to leave the church. You understand?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
These devils will say it's wrong to eat certain foods.
To be married and eat certain foods. Right, well, I'm talking about foods, not scavengers, okay? Scavengers are not to be eaten.
But God created these foods to be eaten with thanksgiving by people who know and believe the truth.
To be eaten by those who know the truth. Now, there's some people that say you can't eat meat. All right, but the Lord created beef and different other animals that are good to eat, deer, elk, and things like that. Now, scavengers are put on this earth to clean up the earth. We don't eat vultures. All these type of creatures, it's not meant that you can eat them. Now, if you're extra hungry and you ask the Lord to bless them, you could eat them if there wasn't anything else to eat. But the Lord created clean foods, and then he created scavengers, vacuum cleaners, to clean the face of the earth up. Amen?
Amen.
So we're talking about clean. If all these things, creatures that God made to eat, are made to eat by those that believe. There's some people that say, no, you're not supposed to eat any kind of meat. You're supposed to eat vegetables only. Well, we can say, okay, if that's the way you want to be, you can, because they're weak in faith, the Bible says. All right? And don't condemn them for that, because if they want to eat vegetables, let them. Amen?
Amen.
Because the kingdom of heaven is not food and drink. But remember, scavengers are not food any more than a vacuum cleaner is food. I suppose if you're hungry enough, you can eat a vacuum cleaner, all right? Grind it up and make it into patties, all right? Okay, then what?
In King James, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Right, so, I mean, if somebody says you're of the devil because you eat beef, or steak, or meat, or something like that, unless God tells you not to. Now, the Lord told me to stay away from beef, all right? And I didn't listen to him, and occasionally I'd have some, and then I have to suffer the consequences. Because now I picked up diabetes, I have it under control, because now I'm on a half the 12-hour or to 15-hour a day fast without anything. But when I do eat, I have to eat certain things. He lets me eat chicken and fish and things like that. But you can eat beef, all right? If you want to. But the kingdom of heaven is not food and drink. He's not going to send your soul to hell. Now, I possibly would die if I ate beef because he told me not to, all right? Now, grapes are all right to eat, too, but he told John the Baptist not to eat any, and Samson, too, or to have anything from the vine. So it all depends on what the Lord is telling you, all right? Now, if you think the Lord is telling you to eat pork, well, I don't know about that. Or vulture sandwiches. Or buzzards. Okay? It says all creatures. You want to eat a sparrow or a robin? Or a cardinal, or an eagle. All right, I don't believe the scriptures that way. I believe there's to clean up the dead bodies on earth, and I believe that shrimp and lobsters and things like this are to clean the ocean floor. Every time you pull up a dead body, you're going to see oysters and shrimp and everything on it consuming that dead body. And I don't want to eat somebody's dead body by proxy. You know, by dipping, you know, my shrimps and things like that. Lobsters and crabs and clams and crawdads. Now, this may be very offensive to people. If you want to eat them, just really pray over it and ask the Lord to bless it, all right? You can eat them if you want. And also, I've got some spare broken down vacuum cleaners that you can have. All right? Anything else? Then what else?
If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained.
You can eat chicken. You can eat turkeys, quail, because they all have gizzards in them. Buzzards don't. Eagles don't. You know, they said, the Lord made everything clear. Amen?
Amen.
But if Gentiles want to eat swine, now if swine are to be eaten, why did Jesus condemn a bunch of them and has sent them into the and choke them in the sea? Because they're good for food? Did you ever think of that? I meditated on that today. Okay, when I was doing this message. So God is getting rid of all that good food. All right, what else?
Your commentary?
Right, go ahead.
Since everything God created to eat is good, we should not reject any of it.
Yeah, everything that's food. Not vacuum cleaners, all right? Scavengers. I've seen people eat pork, you know, and they've lived. I mean, you know, you can eat it. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be good for your health. I know I used to eat it before I learned these things in the Bible, but every time I started to eat it, I'd get sick. I couldn't figure out why, especially pork roast. I enjoyed a good pork chop, you know. Man, they really tasted good in pork chop gravy. And the way my mother made it was delicious, you know. And I even used to, and I hate to admit that, but I used to eat pickles pig's feet. And I thought it was good. And then all of a sudden, one day, I looked at it, and it was just pure fat. And I thought, what am I eating? This is a foot of a pig. And I put it down. Okay? Because, you know, my mother ate that sort of stuff. And I didn't think anything was wrong with it. I even ate pork liver. Even my mother said, I don't understand how you can eat that. I said, just fry it. Okay, then what?
Since everything God created to eat is good, we should not reject any of it. We may receive it gladly with thankful hearts. For we know it is made holy by the word of God and prayer.
Right. Even if you're weak in faith and believe you should be a vegetarian, well, they'd be fine. But if you really want to get out of it, unless the Lord tells you don't eat beef because there's too much fat in it, there's too much preservatives in it today, there's too much medicine in it, there's too many hormones in it, because natural beef, I imagine, is extremely good for you, you know? But they shoot that stuff full of hormones and medicine and things for it to retain water, and a lot of these beef cattle have got cancer because of the stuff they're feeding it. And, you know, but if you're eating beef, pray over it real good, you know, because it's all right to eat. Right?
Yes.
Then what?
If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, you will be doing your duty as a worthy slave of Christ Jesus, a Christian who is led by the message of faith and the true teaching you have learned.
Right, well, I learned about food and what is scavengers and filthy in the Old Testament, okay? And that was the clean laws and so on and so forth. And again, you know, Jesus shot those swine down into the lake there, the Sea of Galilee, and choked them all. So I don't think Jesus was a waster of food. Amen?
Amen.
Ate a lot of fish. Okay, then what else?
King James, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come.
Okay, now into the exhortation.
Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Spend your time and energy by training yourself for spiritual warfare, spiritual fitness.
Right, in other words, we have to train ourselves. It's for sure that it's by God's grace or by His power that we get saved, and there isn't anything that we can do about that. But it certainly does tell us that we have to carry a cross and conform to the Lord after we are saved by God's power, by His Spirit waking our spirit up. Salvation just means that we repented of our sins, and before that the Lord washes all the former sins away, that we're to go and sin no more, and that He's woken our spirits up and we're alive, and now He says, take up a cross and follow me. Amen. In other words, be transformed by my word day by day coming into you, and by daily carrying a cross, because we're saved then to we continue in our saving by being transformed, and that's the work of the cross. Because the Bible states that this, if we carry a cross, the Spirit will, of self-denial, when we deny ourselves, then we'll be transformed daily by the Lord. Because carrying a cross means to deny ourselves and the world, the things of this world. Even though there are some things that the Lord lets us enjoy in this world, He lets us enjoy good food. Amen?
Amen.
He says, teach people that they can enjoy food. Amen?
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's wrong to tell people that you should abstain from some of the different things that the Lord says in this world that He wants you to enjoy. Amen?
Amen.
Like, I enjoy the fruit and vegetables, and I enjoy chicken, you know, and things like that. And fish. And I actually enjoy beef, too, if it weren't for the Lord telling me to stay away from it. Because I had a cholesterol problem, now it's under control, and I want to keep it that way. All right, I'm not a young kid anymore, a toy boy anymore. I'm a grown up now, and I have to be concerned about my health if the Lord wants me to continue on explaining His word to people. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Physical exercise has some good, but spiritual exercise is much more important. For God's word promises a reward both in this life and in the world to come.
And in the life to come, you know, the eternal life, which is in the world to come. We have eternal life now, all right? Our spirits are brought back to life now, forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is, if we continue on in the faith to the end. The faith of what? In the faith of the word of God, the Lord. Okay, then what?
In King James, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation.
Okay, read what I said.
This is God's truth, and everyone must accept it.
It's worthy. You got to accept it. It's worthy to be accepted. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Then King James, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe.
Okay, read mine.
We work hard and suffer much, so people will believe in the truth of God, His word. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all the people who come to Him. I mean to those who believe.
Okay, now go ahead.
King James, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Okay, now read what I said.
Teach these things and make sure, insist that everyone learns them. Don't let anyone think of you as not being able to be in the position you are in the church because of the fact that you are young. Be an example to all believers in the things you teach by the way you live, the way you keep God's commandments, which is love, by your faith and in your purity.
Then what?
King James, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery.
Okay, read.
Until I come, get to where you are.
Until I get to where you are, come to you. Okay, then what else?
Keep reading the scriptures to the church. Encourage the believers and teach them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received by the prophecy spoken to you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you.
Well, the elders of the church is the presbytery. Okay, then what else?
King James, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine.
Okay, read mine.
Give all of your complete attention to these matters. Cast yourself into all the work you do, that everyone can easily see how far you have progressed.
Yeah, just throw yourself into the work that the Lord has commanded you to do, so that everyone can see how far you've been transformed, and how that you are conforming to Christ. Okay, then what?
Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Okay, now finish off with mine.
Keep a close watch on yourself and on teaching. Stay true to the Lord, and God will save you and those who hear and observe you.
Those who hear you and those who observe what you, that the Lord work that you're doing and that He's doing in you. Okay, now here's the message.
The goal.
Okay, our goal is what?
Heaven. To reach heaven.
Yeah, okay, but here's the goal, too, I have. Our goal is to be conformed to Christ, okay? And if so, we don't have to worry about going to heaven. We'll be there. And heaven will be in us right now if we are transforming ourselves daily. The kingdom of heaven will daily be transformed into us, okay, until we're conformed. Go ahead.
I've already said that the goal of transformation is that we become like Him, exactly like Him.
Right. It's not that
So bottom line is that we get to heaven, but it's that we have to be like him before we get there. So we have to be transformed, all right? We have to be conformed. Okay, then what?
But to become exactly like him, I mean for our actual bodies to be transformed or transfigured, will not happen until the Lord appears in the eastern sky very soon.
Right. Now, we can be conformed to the Spirit, but we can't be exactly like him until our spirits are united with our bodies. And that only will happen. We'll only be totally, exactly conformed to his image and likeness when he comes. Because that's when our body also will be transformed completely and conformed completely to him. We'll be just like him then. Exactly like him. Okay? Now, our spirits can be like him here, but not our bodies. That happens at his coming. All right? Do you understand?
Yes.
All right, then what?
This is the time of the redemption of our bodies.
Our body, or our bodies, all of our bodies. Okay? That's when we'll be all totally redeemed. Body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. Then what?
It is at that time that we shall be exactly like him in spirit and in body. When Adam fell, his spirit died first, and humanity, man, became completely controlled by his soul, completely by his flesh. Later, the body also died. Genesis 5:5, Romans 8:11.
Can you read it, please?
Genesis 5:5, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died.
So his body died. Amen? Amen. Now he believed on the Lord. He repented. But his spirit became alive again. And he is asleep in the Lord. But his body died too. Okay? Then what? And our bodies die too. Go down to the graveyard, you'll see that. Go to funeral homes, you'll see them come in there. Sometimes a lot of them in one day, sometimes one or two. Depends on how big of a area you're living in, how populated it is. Then what else?
Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
So Christ had to die for our sins, amen? And then resurrect again so that we could be transformed, conformed to him, so that our deeds of our body could be dead with him, and that we could be alive in his work, in his spirit. Then what else?
This means that the death which happened or took place in his spirit finally reached his body.
That's Adam. Okay, then what?
When man becomes regenerated, saved, his spirit is made alive first.
His spirit is made alive first. Not alive first. His spirit is made alive first. And then what?
Then, through the work of the cross, the Holy Spirit puts the evil practices of our body to death.
Right. It involves the carrying of the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Denying, the self-denial and carrying the cross. Read that again.
When man becomes regenerated, saved, his spirit is made alive first.
Right. Immediately you're just alive. The babe Christ has come in and you're just a babe in Christ. Then what?
Then, through the work of the cross, the Holy Spirit puts the evil practices of our body to death.
Yes, by self-denial, by carrying the cross, the Spirit brings to death all the evil practices of our former life, our body. Amen?
Amen.
And that's mentioned in the Bible, too, that the Spirit of God mortifies the deeds of the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
That's easy to understand, I hope. Okay, go ahead, read it.
In Romans 8:13, Colossians 3:5. Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
See, that's self-denial and carrying the cross. Carrying the cross and denying yourself, in other words, not doing what you want, but what you know the Lord wants you to do. Okay? That's the cross. Because no flesh likes to do what they don't want to do. Everybody wants to do, all flesh wants to do what it wants to do.
And so in order to be transformed the spirit to the Lord, your spirit has to be broken, and you have to let the Spirit of the Lord live in you. In other words, not your will anymore. It has to be the Lord's will. Now, you might not like standing on watch, because we know the flesh doesn't want to stand on watch. It wants to go to sleep, or it wants to be at home in bed. And you may not want to sit in the office and wait for telephones to ring and so on and do office work, because you'd rather be maybe someplace else. Sitting on the beach of Waikiki, or over in Miami or someplace, Las Vegas. You know, the flesh would like to go there and go to, Bellagio's, to go to their, what do they call that, buffet, yes, or some of the other goodies, you know, that the flesh likes. But, you know, if you want to do the will of the Lord, he might have you sit in Pumpkinville someplace. You know, he would equip you with telephones and other things like that just to do what he wants. So we put the cross to our flesh so that we can be conformed to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Every day on a daily basis. We don't do it some days and then just the flesh gets the best of us the next day and we just go hog wild, you know, and say, we'll repent later, you know, but right now I'm going to do my will. Right? You'll wind up choked in the water like those pigs. And then down into hell. And then the lake of fire. Then what?
Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth.
Yeah, don't do what you want to do. Do what the Lord wants you to do. That's how you mortify what you want to do, is to do something that somebody else wants you to do. And that somebody is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
But I don't like that. Well, take it or leave it. The Lord gives you an offer that you shouldn't be able to refuse, you know, that you just can't refuse. Because if you do, you're going to be in hell in the lake of fire. Is it worth it to just do your own little stinky will?
No.
No, they said. Okay, I agree. All right, then what else?
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Okay, now go ahead and read here.
This causes us to deny ourselves daily, Luke 9:23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Yeah, if anyone will come after me. Amen.
Amen.
If they'll go into the kingdom of heaven after God, Christ is there. But if you don't take up the cross and deny yourself, you won't be there with it. You're not following him. We have to follow him into heaven. Amen.
Amen.
By self-denial and taking up the cross. But we want to do what we want to do. Well, that's too bad. That's unfortunate for you. You have to have a change of mind, amen?
Amen.
You have to turn to the Lord in order for you to accomplish this, because you can't be looking at the world and accomplish that. You can't be looking at your own will and accomplish that. You have to do what the Lord says in order to accomplish that. In order to know what the Lord wants, you got to, and know what he's saying, you have to turn completely to him. You have to turn your heart to him, to the word, and just stay there. Oh my God, that's too much self-denial. No, it's too much hell to not do it. Amen?
Amen.
It's too hot and miserable there to not do it. Think about it. Meditate on that. Okay, Bunky? All right, then what?
Further, through the operation of the life in us day by day, we are being changed more and more, both in our nature and...
By the operation of self-denial and taking up the cross daily, we are changed, or what? Conformed more and more, day by day. Amen?
Amen?
So read that back again.
Further, through the operation of the life in us,
which is the Spirit of God in us. Amen?
Amen?
The Word being placed in us daily so that we can be conformed to the Lord, changed more and more
until we are conformed, completely conformed, to the fullness of the stature of the Lord, right?
Yes.
And so that our body can be redeemed.
And to, so that we can be completely, exactly like Him, to His conformed to His body and spirit. We'll be exactly like Him. Then what?
Day by day, we are being changed more and more, both in our nature and in our form, so that we may be conformed to the image of the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And very soon, one of these moments when the Lord appears, quote, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him even as He is. 1 John 3:2.
Because we have to see Him as He is now, in order to see Him as He is in our transformed bodies that have been conformed to His own body. And we got to see Him now, or we won't want to see Him then. You'd be praying for the rocks and mountains to fall on you, to hide you from His wrath. Okay, then what?
1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Right. In order for us to do that, we have to see Him as He is in His Word, and conform to the way He is, and that way our bodies will be conformed to the way He is. We'll see Him, and we'll be just like Him. How could we not be? Okay, we'll be kings. We're to be kings here, more and more each day. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
This is the redemption of...
Yeah, but you say, I'm a girl and I can't be a king. There is no male or female, all right, in the body of Christ. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So even though you're not going to wear a beard, okay, you have to walk in a kingly manner, okay?
Yes.
And in reality, we're all going to be His bride, right?
Yes.
These things, this is a mystery, and these things are a little bit hard to understand right now, but you'll understand it better by and by. Okay, then what?
This is the redemption of the body for which Paul was waiting, Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Okay, so not only is our soul redeemed or brought back to life, but our dead bodies will be redeemed, brought back to life, and will stay young forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
You won't have to wear makeup there, you girls. All right? Then what else?
This truth is also recorded in Philippians 3:21.
You read it.
Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Paul states that the Lord Jesus will transfigure the body of our humiliation, conforming it to the body of His glory.
So it would be transfigured like Him, like the brothers saw Him transfigured on the mount. Amen?
Amen.
And they saw His glorious body, because He was giving them faith that He's going to live forever. So read that back.
Paul states that the Lord Jesus will transfigure the body of our humiliation.
Yeah, we humble ourselves in this physical body here, and it's humiliating. You know, when you keep getting older, your heart gets weak, your hair starts checking out, and your eyes start dimming, and it's humiliating, you know, and your teeth start falling out. You start getting, you know, rickety. But then we're going to be transformed into His body. Amen?
Amen.
Glorious body. And it won't be that way anymore. All right. So you young people, don't act so smug. You're growing older every minute. All right. Then what? But have faith. You know, you're not going to be old anymore. You're going to look better than you ever looked in your life. That's a glorious thing to think about. Amen?
Amen.
Seeing how vain some of you are. Okay, then what else?
Conforming it to the body of His glory, according to the operation of Him who is able even to subject all things to Himself.
Right, so the Word is powerful enough to put you under subjection if you make it, if you deny yourself. But it takes activity on your part. You have to deny yourself. You have to forget about your will completely and just do the will of the Lord in order to be transformed. And then finally transfigured, your body, when it's raised up. Or when the Lord comes and you're changed in a twinkling of an eye to this, the transfiguration of an eternal body. All right, then what?
From these verses, we are able to see and know that God's salvation for us begins by making our spirit alive and ends with the redemption of our body.
Right, it begins by the Spirit of God entering our spirit, mingling himself with it, and resurrecting our dead spirit to life. Then ends by him transfiguring our bodies, raising our bodies from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
And making them like his own. Glorious body. Now, Paul says that the bodies we have now are vile. All right. Vile. So he's going to change our vile, wicked, and constantly decaying bodies to be like his glorious body, which never decays, never sweats, or any other vile thing. Okay, then what else?
The words, quote, "you will live," said in Romans 8:13, refers to our daily experience of living in the body. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live."
Amen. So the whole thing in transforming is self-denial and carrying the cross. So by the cross is a wonderful thing. Even though it seems grievous to carry it now, it will be, you'll be very happy that you did at the end. Amen?
Amen.
So even though it's grievous to deny yourself and to not do your will, but to do the will of the Father, it just seems grievous for you to do that. Some of you. You'll find out that you'll have a real wonderful life here. And you'll have an unspeakably wonderful life eternally. But it takes self-denial, the carrying of the cross, the denial of your own will, and to completely do the will of the Lord. That won't happen overnight. You have to keep pressing to that point. To get to that point, you have to do that every day. Put the cross to your will and to your flesh. Okay, then what?
The words, "you will live," said in Romans 8:13, refers to our daily experience of living in the body. It does not refer to the redemption of our body.
No, the redemption of our body is if we continue letting Christ live in us until the last day. All right, then our body is redeemed. And because we've let it regenerate, we've let our spirit and body regenerate to where it can't do anything else but reap the conformity of the body of Christ. The exact body. Okay, then what?
The word tells us that resurrection and transformation are a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed."
Right, so the flesh is corruptible. Every minute you live is corrupting. Amen?
Amen.
So there it's uncorruptible. Maybe you look like you're about 16 years old, but with the wisdom of God in your face. I've seen a vision of myself and Sue and myself in heaven. And we look like the most beautiful creatures. And I know other people have seen visions of themselves. My brother saw a vision of my mother, and he said she was the most beautiful woman in the world. Well, to me, when I was looking at Sue, she was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life, because you're absolutely perfect. And everyone is satisfied with the way they look. Everybody is the most beautiful person in the that you've ever seen in the universe. So you will not be disappointed at the way you look. Okay, you'll be very satisfied. There won't be any bad, you know, the left side is bad, but the right side is good, or just things like that, or you got a bad lips or eyes or whatever, or nose. You won't have that bad-looking nose anymore, right? Or whatever. Then what?
The redemption of the body in which we are made is like unto his own glorious body, and is also exceedingly glorious. John had faith to believe this would be fulfilled in the future, which is very near.
Yeah, that future is very near. The Lord's coming back real soon. So don't waste any time in getting your body transformed, your spirit transformed, so that when the Lord comes, that he can redeem your body. And so that you can be conformed to the exact and express image of himself. Because you are one with him. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
He said that when the Lord appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is the character of the new covenant.
Yeah, it's a wonderful character of the new covenant, is that we'll be exactly like him. And so, in order to be exactly like him, we have to carry the cross and deny ourselves and be like him. Be doing his will. Amen?
Amen.
That's it.
This also is the glory of the new covenant. Brothers and sisters, let us not be too late in believing, in trusting the word, the Lord.
Okay, so trust the word, because the word is the Lord. Just do what it says. Amen?
Amen.
And don't try to make up excuses, because excuses won't get you transformed. Obeying the Lord, self-denial will get you transformed. Excuses... is for the birds, okay, not you. Okay, being transformed is for you. All right?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and until tomorrow, Lord bless.